You know what? I mean, you take this, what you seek, you shall find. And if you are seeking opportunity, you are seeking new clients, you will find it. If you think that this is a time just to survive and you are seeking, you know, the client that is like, you know, just please pay my bills, you will find that. But there is lots of people that out there that have, that are willing to invest, that are ready to invest, and they're poised to grow. Those are your ideal clients right now.
Welcome to the 3 Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you 3 simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me. Hello, folks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. My name is James Lamb. I'm your host for 3 Steps to Thrive. Today, I'm super excited to have Kim Orlovsky here. Kim, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I am pumped to be here, James. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Awesome. And trust me, it's my pleasure. So we're going to ask Kim a few questions to get to know her better, and we're going to ask her about her 3 tips to improve the business owner or the business as well. But before that, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Kim through her bio. And might I say, this is very impressive and very brief, which I really appreciate. So it's amazing. Kim is the president of KO Advantage Group. She's listed as LinkedIn's top sales influencers and continuously named as one of the top sales leaders to follow. She is Startup Canada's Women Entrepreneur and Success Magazine's most inspirational blogger. She speaks international, including at North America's largest entrepreneurial event, Inbound 2017, 2018, and 2019, alongside little-known celebrities such as Michelle Obama, Brené Brown, and Deepak Chopra. In 2014, Kim courageously quit her life to backpack solo around the world. When she returned, she turned her passion for sales into one of North America's fastest growing sales training programs, KO Sales U. Her third book, Sell More, Faster, is available now. So it's interesting, Kim. You know, when we got on the Zoom call, one of the first things that I saw was you and a picture of, I believe it was Oprah. Is that right?
Yes, it is Oprah.
That's got to be one of your highlights of what you've ever done. Is that correct?
It is. The joke in the house is that my smile is bigger in that photo than it was on my wedding day. And so I've replaced all of my wedding photos with me and Oprah.
Well, at least you have your priorities straight. Let's be honest. Yeah.
My husband's like, he's like, you didn't even smile that big when we got married.
Now, I know we have really introspective questions, but I think my question is, so when I read your bio, and to a lot of our listeners, you're kind of a big deal. You're not even kind of a big deal. You are a big deal. Now,
Oprah,
do you get star-studded eyes? Like, are you kind of like, I don't know what to say, and how do I make her remember me? Like, what is the feeling there?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So all of it. So I had the opportunity to meet her. And yes, of course, I was completely star-studded. I don't know if it would be necessarily the same way if I met like any other celebrity, but I grew up watching Oprah. You know, I mean, I was, you know, no taller than a, you know, how was the saying go, right? No taller than a, you know, the knee height of a grasshopper, essentially, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I was young, and Oprah was, you know, a pivotal person in our house from the age of like, you know, 4, 6, 8 beyond. So of course I was starstruck, and I knew I was going to meet her, and I spent, oh my goodness, I must have stressed out for weeks thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, imagine that I only have a few seconds with Oprah,
yes.
right? I have a few seconds. I don't know how long it was going to be. I mean, I would be so blessed if I got more than, you know, a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And I asked myself, I'm like, what would I say to Oprah? And the only thing I figured out was that it would have to be a question, right? Because I wouldn't just want to say something to her and not get yes. like some type of response back. It has to be a question. It has to be 5 words or less. You know, because anything longer than that, I would end up forgetting or stumbling yes. over my words or something. And then it had to be something meaningful enough. Like, what do you ask Oprah? And in hindsight, I mean, I had like 100 other questions, but yes. you know, for weeks I stressed over what would be the perfect question to ask Oprah. And so finally, you get this opportunity to meet her. You're in this room, and they say, okay, you're going to finally get a chance to meet Oprah. By the way, you can't give her any gifts. You can't leave her with anything. Like, you have literally like 3 seconds.
Yes.
We're going to have you stand there. You get your photo, and then you leave. And I'm like, yes. Okay, like, just ask the question. And I'm there. And the only thing that came out of my mouth in that moment was, what do you need right now? And that was the only thing I could ask. And yes. I was like, because the only thing I thought is like, if Oprah needed a box of Skittles, I will go and find those Skittles. You know, and thankfully it was like, you know, she came back. She's like, you know, I don't need anything, but she's like, thank you so much. Like, you know, that was a very gracious question and everything. And she shook my hand and gave me a hug, and then off I was on. And, you know, and then I got the photo and, you know, wonderful sign booked and everything else like that. But, yes, I mean, it was still a wonderful moment to meet yes. somebody. And in hindsight, I mean, you know, and if I knew I had more time, I might've asked her, you know, what was the one thing she learned that surprised her the most or something. Right.
Yes.
You know, when you meet somebody like that, like I don't think you can get any closer to somebody who literally knows everything around the world, because she's interviewed so many people yeah. to have that many opinions and that yep. many stories told to you over a lifetime. You would have to be one of the smartest people in the world.
Yes. And she, you know, no one will ever replace Oprah, right? She's very insightful that way. It's interesting that you tell the story, which is funny because you deal with high price salespeople, you train high yes. price salespeople, you are high price salespeople, and yet you have to stand in the mirror and think about the 5 words that you need to say in front of her, right? So I guess even people like you get tripped up once in a while, per se.
You know what? Well, yes, of course. And we're a big believer in practice, right? Practice,
yes.
practice, practice. I mean, simplicity will always, you know, always win. At the same time, it takes a lot of work to be that simple. I mean, Einstein said it, you know, he's like, make it as simple as possible and no simpler.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Twain said, had I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to make it so eloquent and so simplistic, concise, you know, direct is an art. And I
yes.
think that takes years of practice. And as business owners, we need to get really good at, you know, breaking down our entire pitch really short, right? Being able to say yep. what it is that we provide of value, how we can help people. And if you can't do it in, you know, 5 words or less, mm-hmm. then you're missing the point.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's interesting because the listeners don't know this, but you know this. We were talking about American politics of all things. And keep in mind, listeners, I don't know Kim very well. Somehow we launched to American politics within a minute of conversing.
Immediately.
but that's okay.
The topic your numbers is a touch on.
But I think the interesting part is I heard a story the other day, and I don't remember where it was from, but they were saying that listening to the Republican presidential candidate discussions, and this is back, I think it was Russell Brunson actually, and he was saying that Trump was talking at a grade 3 level and all these other people were talking at a grade 8 level, you know, when you actually sit down and analyze. So maybe there is something to the simplistic thing. And I know a lot of business owners think they have to come across, especially coaches, especially influencers, they come across, I have to be really smart, I have to come across as being like really knowing my stuff. And so they throw a lot of tech terms in, they throw a lot of big terms in. Do you think that's a mistake for them to do?
You know, it's not necessarily a mistake, but I think it needs to be done very strategically. And, you know, I mean, when we're in a sales training, I mean, we're one of the few sales training companies that actually cover the role of emotional intelligence in the sales cycle. And emotional intelligence at the very highest level will actually say, are you able to communicate difficult information in a way that does not leave the other person feeling alienated from the conversation? And so if you're choosing to use, you know, very technical terms, very high level language, the question you have to ask yourself is, am I okay if somebody doesn't understand that word to feel excluded from that? Because the moment you feel excluded from a conversation, think about like at a party, the moment you don't have anyone really talking to you, you have nothing to contribute, you walk away from that group and you go try to find another group. If you're going to selectively choose to exclude people because you're going to use certain terminology, then make that a conscious decision. If you're doing it because you want to seem smart and you want people to be more attracted to you, that's actually never going to happen. That is not the right way. one of the reasons why, I mean, number one, I use, you know, oftentimes a higher vocabulary than normal is because that is who we attract. We attract very analytical mind people. We attract people that want to deep dive into their business. Do I also try to break things down in very simple concepts? Absolutely. You know, and I mean, you know, the simpler, the better. Almost to the point, you know, to kind of our detriment, because people are like, you make it so simple. And I'm like, but it took years. It took years to get to that point where it was so simple, and it should be that simple.
Yeah. It's interesting. Tell me, now you went backpacking around the world solo in 2014, which the world was very different back in 2014.
Yeah. You could actually get on a plane.
All of our worlds were different back in 2014. Yeah. I had no kids. I don't know if you have kids. I think you have kids. Yes,
I do. Yes. I have a 3-year-old. Yeah. Yeah. I joke with my husband. I said, like, you know, I remember the days when I could, like, you know, go buy shoes and purses and like all these wonderful things. And I said, now I'm buying like Paw Patrol and Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah. It's interesting. I remember talking, I talked to my wife all the time, but I said, do you remember that time when we used to go for a walk and it would take us 1 minute to get out the door, right? As opposed to 20 minutes. And then we change shoes and change jackets and bring umbrellas and you name it. Anyways.
Oh yeah. The kid gets seated in the seat only to find out that they have to pee in that moment. You're like, I just asked you.
That is true. So you've returned from backpacking solo around the world and you started a sales training company. Why sales? Why sales in particular?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it didn't start being sales training, right? That ended up becoming through iterations of business. Eventually, I did come back to sales. I had 10 years of corporate sales experience. I never wanted to be a salesperson when I graduated university. I don't think anyone ever does.
No.
Except now my 8-year-old stepson, who has told me that he wants to be a salesperson. I'm like, oh, bless your heart, right? We need more salespeople in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, but nobody grows up thinking, I want to be a salesperson. And yet it fell on my lap after university. And I worked for Xerox. I worked for American Express. I was really good. And I was really good because I took the time to connect with people. I took the time to really understand them and ask a lot of questions. Did really well. That's part of the reason why I went in and backpacked around the world. I was, you know, just over 30. And I said, you know what, this is something I wish I would have done in my 20s. So let's just do it now. And when I came back, eventually, like through kind of some of those brick in the head moments where people are like, you have so much sales experience, you should really be teaching sales. And you're like, oh, yes, I should be doing that. And I started it because part of the reason was, number one, through the travel and all the connections and people that I was meeting as I was starting my own business, I saw a lot of business owners that didn't understand the value of a sales process. They didn't have a sales process. They would spend literally thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on marketing efforts only to come back and say, well, I have lots of leads, Kim. Like, how is sales going to help me? And it's like, sales will do everything for you. The other thing that I saw was that, you know, because of the lack of the sales process, they had no cash flow predictability. Mm-hmm. They didn't know when they were going to get the next deal. They didn't know how much that next deal was going to be for. And, you know, the stress of a business owner to go to sleep every single night and like literally have no idea when a deal was going to close, when the next customer was going to come through the door. I don't know how people lived like that. And so I said, this is something that I was taught. And so I needed to teach other people. And so I started this sales training company. I broke down the entire process on what this looks like. And eventually, I mean, we have grown to an exceptional level of company. I mean, we officially incorporated in 2017, the end of 2017. And I mean, now we are a team of 8 with people right across Canada. And we just brought on our first person in the US.
Amazing.
Because we're growing at that scale. Because this is something that has been crucially missed in so many entrepreneurs and small businesses. They're like, how do I sell? It's like, I mean, as simple as you can get. How do I ensure that I know what the revenue is coming through, when it's coming through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's be honest, right? Your profit, all it is leads times conversions. So, and the lower hanging fruit is always going to be conversions, right? People always talk about more leads, but you know, if you can nail that sales process, that goes a long way. Let me ask you this question. Sales it's got an icky term. You alluded to it before, right? You alluded to working for Xerox and MX, and you said, I didn't want to do this, right? Is that the reason why people don't look at sales more seriously? Is that the reason why business owners kind of ignore this portion and just say, you know what, I you know, if they don't want it, that's okay?
Oh my goodness. You know, so I was asked to guest lecture at an entrepreneurial program at a local university here, just to come in, talk a little bit about sales. And as I was chatting with the professor before I started doing the guest lecture, I asked him, like, I'm like, what do your students think about sales? And then these students are like 19 years old, 20 years old. And he goes, you know, honestly, he's like, they still see sales as that Glengarry Glen Ross, that Alec Baldwin, yeah, like ABC, always be closing. And if you're not first, you're last. And if you're third, right, don't even ask, you know, second place is like a steak knives and third place is a pink slip, right?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is how people still see it. Now, the irony behind this is that Glengarry Glen Ross came out before these children, essentially, right, mm-hmm, young adults were even born. And yet this is the misconception that we still have of what sales is that it's a very adversarial type of conversation. It's you versus me, right? And the unfortunate reality is even when we go back in time at some of, like, you know, the most prolific sales books that were available, it was very much like, you know, getting to yes. How do you make somebody say yes? How do you make somebody, you know, finally be convinced that no is not the right answer? How do you, you know, what do you do? And sales has forever been, this is what you do as a salesperson. And I'm the same way, right? I mean, we all believe that the sales is this iconic used car salesman. Do whatever it takes, mm-hmm, to get the deal, wipe your hands clean, be running out the door with the contract and the payment, only to never see the client again. And sales is not that. Like, sales is it's the glue that sticks between the marketing and the customer service, right? It is the bridge that brings those two things together. It is the bridge between, let us show you the very best of us and let us actually give you the very best of us. And sales is this thing that's right in the middle. And I think if more business owners embrace that this is the courtship between a long-term relationship. This is the dating portion. This is the most romantic place that you could be in, right? I mean, when we reflect back on our own personal lives, we're always like, I loved dating my husband, my spouse and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, that was just so romantic. This is how we should feel about every single client interaction in the sales process.
Hmm. Tell me, so it's interesting. I'm going to ask you a couple questions here. So I will prompt you if you forget, because I always forget halfway through questions what I'm answering. But tell me about, because you teach strategy, but a big portion of what you must teach is mindset as well. Getting in the right mindset to be able to do this. The other question is, people are going to say no. That's just a part of sales.
Yep.
So, you know, where does the mindset piece come in when that happens?
Oh, you know what? I live by the motto. I was teaching a class and one of the students came in and it's now taken up one of our models. We've actually put it right into our program. Simply, some will, some won't. Move on.
Yeah.
And believing that doesn't matter how great your pitch is, just always some will, some won't move on. Like the idea that you can lead the horse to water and you can't make them drink, right? Water off a duck's back, however you want to say it. And, you know, the idea behind this is that even if it's so wonderful, right, people are just going to say, no, the timing's not right. Mindset is really about, you know, one of the things that I'm not quite 40 yet, but one of the things I'm looking forward to the most about 40 is this idea that most people will say, you just stop caring about what other people think. You know, you just don't care. Like, you just are, right? Like, this is what one of the things that they say, like, just becomes about 40. And maybe I'm already there. But, you know, I think as business owners, we have to accept that as well. You know, like, stop trying to force the round peg in the square hole.
Yeah.
When we talk about sales strategy, I mean, this becomes right from the very beginning. I think one of the reasons why business owners struggle so much is because they found somebody who definitely needs their product, right? And they spend all their time trying to convince someone who needs their product how much they should also want it. And when we work on the sales strategy, we spend a ton of time on the research, on understanding who is that ideal client, who do we want to attract, who do we want to bring in, like, what are some of the things that they're going to tell us that we're going to be like, bingo. Like, that is the person we want to continue on. Because if you spend all your time or a majority of your time figuring out who you want to sell to and what those conversations are going to look like, the rest of the sales cycle is going to be incredibly easy. The times that we struggle is because we're not fully convinced that that person is the right client, or we don't even have, we haven't even spent the time figuring out who that ideal client is. And then we're trying to convince all these people who are probably not the right fit why they should ultimately become a lifetime partnership with us. And it's just, it's a terrible way to look at it. So, I mean, the motto is some will, some won't, move on. And that's it.
It's interesting, right? Because a lot of people, especially when they first start in business, you ask them, what do they do? Oh, anybody who's in business would be a good client. And you're like, well, that's the worst thing you could have possibly said, right?
Oh my goodness. I look at that as like, you know, throwing out a giant ocean net and hoping to catch lobster, right? Like you ultimately want lobster, but you're like, okay, giant throwing it. I'm like, you would be laughed off the boat if you were a lobster fisher. Lobsters are caught in tiny lobster traps.
Yes. Yes.
So figure out what your lobster trap looks like, set those up instead of trying to throw out this giant ocean net and exhausting yourself with the amount of crap that you're essentially going to pull back in.
Yeah, no, it's true, right? And you have to first identify that you're going for lobster, and then you have to create the trap, right? And then the strategy behind the trap.
Absolutely.
I'm going to change gears here. So, you know, just for a reminder to our listeners, she's the top of everything. I'm just looking at your bio again, top sales influencer, most inspirational blogger. You know, you've met Michelle Obama, Brene Brown, Deepak Chopra. They all got replaced by Oprah, which is totally fine. My question for you is, tell us a time when you failed. Tell us a time when things didn't go right and you kind of sat there and you were like, I don't know what to do next. And what did you learn about yourself, or what did you learn about business?
Yeah. Oh, geez. I mean, I can tell you so many times about when I failed. But you know what? I'm going to go with, you know, at the very beginning of my business ownership. And it was, you know, I mean, I said at the very beginning that I went through iterations to get to my business where it was. And so when I came back from backpacking, you know, I eventually met my husband and everything. And I said, you know what, this is it. Like, I'm going to start my own business. And so I started actually a coaching practice. That was kind of like the only thing. When in doubt, become a coach. Yeah. And so I started my own coaching practice. And for the life of me, I could not get a client. And I could not figure out what I was doing wrong. I was blogging. I was spending a ton of time putting pretty little Facebook quotes on Facebook, thinking that people were being inspired by them. And I was collecting all the Facebook likes in the world, right? Only to find out that, you know, Safeway doesn't actually take Facebook likes as a form of currency for groceries.
Yes.
you know, and so here I am, I'm trying to promote like all this stuff. And I would say, like, I can speak on stage. And people are like, what are you going to speak about? And I'm like, anything. Like, I'll speak about anything, like whatever you want me to. And this was the struggle that I had. And so finally, my husband said, he's like, okay, he's like, I'm going to be honest with you. He's like, you are an incredible salesperson. And he's like, and if you went out there in, you know, in 30 days, he's like, you could easily get yourself a job with some corporate sales company and be making six digits and even above that, right? He's like, you know, he's like, you left a company where you were making like $150,000 a year. He's like, that is your plan B. He's like, that should not be, you know, your plan B should never be greater than your plan A. Yeah. And he's like, you know, and if you are serious, he's like, if you are serious about making your business work, he's like, then you have 30 days. He's like, cause I know in 30 days you could get yourself a job, like getting paid $100,000, $120,000, $150,000 a year, or you could go ahead and you could actually make this business work. And I like, I mean, number one, I was appalled that he would give me this ultimatum. Like, who are you? Like, you know, but he's, yes. he's an incredible business person too. So I can't really say too much about it. And the whole next day I sat in the bed and I cried and I was mourning this business that had barely even taken off. I was so excited to like be making, I think like $2,000 over the course of 4 months. And I was like, why can't I make this thing work? And I cried and I started looking for jobs and everything. And then I think after a full day of crying and like, you know, and figuring out that like, you know what, I'm not ready yet. I am not ready to give up on this dream yet. I went out there and I finally got, and I don't want to say I got serious, but I got really clear on if I only had to do one thing right, like what am I actually going to go for? And that's kind of where the sales coaching, which eventually led to the sales training, really, really took off. Because I asked myself, what am I really good at? What can I do better than anyone else in the world? And it was like, I could sell. So why couldn't I sell for myself? I'm like, well, what if I taught other people how to sell? And so I looked for business owners that had sold similar types of products and services that I was already familiar with. And I said, let me teach you how to sell. Within that 30 days, I brought on, you know, four clients at $2,600 a month. I mean, I was at $10,000 a month by the end of that, sustainable for at least 6 months. And so, I mean, I want you to take this as a lesson that, like, even in the darkest of times, there's always clients out there. And if you get really clear about what you offer and who you're offering to, like, look for that small pond that you can be the big fish in and go and seize that, as opposed to trying to be the little minnow in the giant ocean, because you will never, ever figure out where your place is in that, in there.
Yeah. Amazing. The other moral of the story there is listen to your partner, I guess. Yeah. Is that right?
Always listen to your husband. I'm not even going to let him have a link to this podcast, because he's like, thank you, baby. I appreciate the shout out and telling me how right you was.
I'll put him in the show notes. We'll give him credit as well, right? That's amazing though. And you know, it's interesting because I get the privilege of interviewing all these successful entrepreneurs and business owners. It's been a pretty eye-opening, incredible experience, but it's almost like you need to have this massive failure that precedes this incredible time of growth. And that's what it seems like, right? Yeah. Tell me, you alluded that this is a dream. Is it a dream?
This is the dream.
Yeah.
This is the dream. Like, every day I wake up and I am incredibly blessed and lucky to have an incredible team, to be doing exactly what I love, and to watch something grow bigger than myself.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, it's like, for those of you that have children, I mean, like, you know, it's essentially like having just another child. You know, you put as much as you can, you put everything into it at the very beginning stages, right? It requires so much energy, so much attention. And then one day it starts to become independent.
Yes.
And you're like, you know, you start to watch, you know, the people that you've hired start to be able to take control, and they're taking ownership. And there's moments where I actually find myself crying with joy, because I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, this thing is so amazing. And, you know, and we meet with our team every quarter, you know, to talk about strategy. And it's now at a point where I get to sit back and listen. Like, I'll never let go of the reins completely, but I get to sit back and listen and be like, okay, if the team has decided that's the direction that we should go in, who am I to say that, you know, my one way is the right way?
Yes.
Like, let's allow this to be. And yes, it is fully the dream.
Amazing. What is your single favorite part about what you're doing now?
That I was able to create the life I wanted in the time that I was willing to devote to it. So what I mean by that is, I mean, the business really started taking, like, the business in its current form is KO Advantage Group, was incorporated shortly after my son was born. He was born, I was kind of dabbling and getting back into work. And then when I was fully decided to get back into work, I decided to incorporate. And when the time came, I mean, he was probably about like somewhere between 4 and 6 months old or something. I decided that, you know, I get to choose what my life gets to look like. I am an entrepreneur. I should get to choose. Like, nobody said that being an entrepreneur means you have to work 60 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to do this, then what does that look like to me? And so I made the conscious decision that I wanted to live with a certain level of work-life balance. So that meant 4 days a week. Right. I was happy having, you know, that extra day with my son. Anything less than that wouldn't feel right for me. 4 days a week working was going to be the perfect time for me. And so I set that line in the sand thinking that it was going to eventually move. As we grew and we started hiring more people and everything, I couldn't in good conscience say that, you know, the boss is only going to work 4 days a week and, you know, everyone else is going to have to work five. I made this very scary and conscious decision that we were going to be a 4 day work week company. And we have been able to create so much in that short period of time. And as we've continued to grow, I have really carved out more and more of what I want my role to look like in the company, which is, ultimately, I want to be the content creator. I want to just be out there creating videos and, you know, standing on stage and writing. And that's what I want to do, research. And I want to, you know, come back with a summary of this research. And I have found people that have wanted to take over all the other aspects of the company that need to be done. And so, yes, like when we come back to like, is this the dream and everything? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's the dream. It is a 4 day work week. It is creating the exact job and being paid for what I do. And as long as I continue to do that, I mean, I will forever be a happy person.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. Congratulations on all your success. It's come from a lot of hard work, I'm sure. And vision as well. Two more questions, and then we're going to get to your 3 points. Okay. Tell me about Sell More Faster.
Yes. So I am so in love with this book. Yes, I'm biased because I'm the author, but I am so in love with this book. So it's, you know, I've written a couple other books before. The other two books were actually entirely on just my travel and my journey and things like that. And I don't promote them just because they were just part of a journey, I think, eventually to become an author. And, you know, as I started to develop my company and everything, I knew that I needed to write a book that was entirely based on the platform, which was sales. And it started off being one thing, and it sat there forever, and I didn't touch it. And finally, I was like, I need to recreate this. And I had no idea what I was going to do. And so at the time, we had already created 10 weeks of sales training. I mean, now we've revamped it. It's 12 weeks of sales training. But I looked at my entire 10-week program, and I said, if I had to just like summarize what somebody would have to know out of that entire 10 weeks program, if they read a book and felt like they had enough so that they were successful with that, what would that be? And I sat, and it flowed, right? Because it was like, here's the main point. Here's the main point. Here's the main point. And it's essentially like, I mean, it is a summary of 10 weeks, now it's 24 hours, right? I mean, you could read the book in 3-4 hours. If, you know, what is the 4-hour version of a 24-hour sales program look like? And it covers an entire sales process. So if you are simply looking for, how do I just develop a sales process? What are the questions I need to ask a client? You know, how do I find those right clients? I mean, this is the book that you absolutely need to read. And we have received so many gracious, you know, testimonials and reviews and everything out of this book. I have to redo the entire cover because, you know, it was originally created, and now it's, you know, we have so much that we need to promote with it. And it was just really a labor of love that went out there, and the love that we've received out of that has really shown us that it was something that was truly the best thing that needed to be out there.
Amazing. And I'm sure there's a lot of great learning points in there for sure. So listeners, you know, I'm going to put in the show notes that title. I'll have a link as well. If Kim will be so kind as to give me one, which I'm sure she will.
I will. I'll actually, you know what? I'll even do one better for your people. I will actually get them, if they'd like, they can have the entire book as a free download.
So fantastic.
Go to bit.ly/sellmorefasterbook. If you choose to buy it, which I am also a big believer in, buy it, go contact a small bookshop, right? Go contact a small business. Let them know to specially order the book. It will take them just as long as whether you ordered it from Amazon, but the money stays in your local community, not in Jeff Bezos' wallet.
Yeah, amazing stuff. So thank you very much. That's very, very generous of you. And I'll be sure to put that in the show notes, team. And that is one thing that we absolutely 100% should do. And if you do download it, the only way you're going to get any information out of it is to read it. So make a commitment to do that as well. Final question, then we'll get to your 3 points quickly. Because we're recording this during the time of COVID, opportunity or liability for sales?
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Massive, massive opportunity. We have seen the students that have taken our program, the conversations that I've had, people are taking this as an opportunity to finally reach out to prospects that they've always wanted to. They are challenging themselves to provide an exceptional client experience. They are becoming more empathetic and including more emotional intelligence in their conversations. If you have always looked for a reason to reach out to somebody, I mean, if you can't find a reason, like, listen, it's a pandemic and, like, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the next 3 months. I've always wanted a reason to reach out. Maybe I'm going to use this as a specific reason. Yes. Like, go and do it, because there is tremendous relationships that are able to be built during this time.
Awesome. Good to know. All right, let's get to your 3 points. So just for the listeners, and you already know this because you're loyal listeners, right? Because you've subscribed. But every time we bring on a successful business person or an entrepreneur, we always ask them 3 practical, actionable, and simple steps to improve either the business owner or the business itself. Kim, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. So, I mean, we talked about getting really clear about who you want to target, who you want to go for your clients. So number one, create a list of 100. Choose 100 ideal clients that you want to go for. Create that list, spend time researching those companies, looking on their LinkedIn profiles or websites and everything, and then hand select them. And your job over the next year, so action item number 2, your job over the next year is to contact every one of those companies no less than 5 times. Okay. You were to contact them with the reasons and the seasons. So right now it's summer. So you contact them in the summer, you contact them again in the fall, you contact them in the winter, the spring. And if something changes in your business or something, you were to contact them again. Relationships take time, and 80% of sales will happen after the 5th touch point. And action item number 3, download the book or go find it, right? Yes. Go ahead and get yourself really educated on what a sales process looks like. Make sure that in your CRM, you have outlined the steps that you need to include, and you start measuring your success. How many meetings are you having? How many proposals are you delivering? Because if the numbers don't work out, sales is a numbers game. If the numbers aren't working out, then that tells me that you have a broken process and you need to fix it. If you're delivering 4 proposals for every one that says yes, you have a broken process, right? You should be delivering no more than 2 proposals for everyone that says yes. If you're not, then that means you have to go back and have more quality meetings, slow down that, and get to a point where the client is truly ready for the proposal.
Right. Okay. So the 3 points again, just recap them for our audience, please.
Create a list of 100. Start contacting every single person no less than 4 times over the course of the year, and download Sell More Faster.
Awesome. And it's free, right? So you and really have no excuse.
There's no excuse.
And when Kim says download, she means download and read, by the way, as most of you
know. Yes, download and read. Yeah, I wish we could all learn by osmosis, but just because it's on your computer doesn't mean that it actually, like, it has given you anything.
Right? If only it was like one of those, those cassette tapes back in the 80s where you could learn a language just by listening and putting it by your head.
You know what? Funny enough, I've been slowly getting the audiobook version of it created. So you can even go to our YouTube page. And I think like the first like 6 chapters are on YouTube, written, read out. Please forgive me. I haven't had the time to like record everything yet, but it's slowly getting up there.
Awesome. Congratulations on the book. All right, team. I think we're going to close this off. Kim, it has been such a privilege having you on the show. So thank you very much. I'm going to ask you for your final thoughts for our listeners.
You know what? I mean, you take this, what you seek, you shall find. And if you are seeking opportunity, you are seeking new clients, you will find it. If you think that this is a time just to survive and you are seeking, you know, the client that is like, you know, just please pay my bills, you will find that. But there is lots of people that out there that are willing to invest, that are ready to invest, and they're poised to grow. Those are your ideal clients right now.
And now we know why she's such an inspirational speaker. So once again, thank you very much. Team, don't forget, if you love the show, please rate and review this. People like Kim come on their own volition. We don't pay them a dime. So please, if you're interested.
Oh, in the what?
Now you know. So please subscribe, rate and review the podcast. And that's the easiest way for us to get to more people is to rate and review, because business owners of all sizes, of all ages, and of all experience levels need to hear these 3 points from people who are super successful. So thank you once more to Kim.
Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure being here. And I hope all your listeners were able to get some valuable advice.
I'm sure they would. And thank you, listeners, each and every one of you. Same place, same time next week. And I look forward to speaking with you then. Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week and have a great few days.